one or two would occasionally break rank for a charge. Then Sewell or Jalal would fire a few EE rounds to ward them off. Thankfully, the sturdy pikemen were unable to match the boosted mercenaries' physical endurance, so how come Sean could? They had been left nearly 7 kilometers behind. So far, so good, but the situation couldn't hold stable for long. Fenton was racing ahead of the hovercraft, scouting the land, his mass and brawn making easy work for the bristling grass blades. Razor looked through the hound's eyes, leaving a locomotion program to guide his own body down the trail left by the two hovercraft. He was developing a feel for the land beneath the rhythmic pounding of the hound's paws, anticipating the folds and abrupt rises which belied the savannah's facade of interminable mellow ground. There was a small but certain change in the texture of the grass whipping against Fenton's blunt muzzle. The dead mat of decaying blades covering the flinty soil, becoming thicker, springier. Water, and close by. Fenton slowed to smell the air. Kelly, Razor datavised, there's a small stream 200 meters ahead, steep gully sides, head for it. Part of the bank has collapsed, you can take the hovercraft down. A guidance plot filled her mind, all close-packed brown and blue contour lines. A computer image of how the earth would look stripped of vegetation. Neural mnemonics integrated it with a piloting program, and she tweaked the joystick. "Where does it lead?" she asked. So far, all they had done was build distance between them and the homestead cabin, heading south, without any attempt to get back on the river which led to the mountains. "Nowhere. It's cover for us, that's all. The knights are trying to wear us down, and the bastards are succeeding. We can't keep this pace going forever, and the hovercraft electron matrices are being drained. Once we're immobile, the pikemen will catch up, and it'll all be over. They'll know we can't fight off that many of them. We have to regain the initiative." Kelly didn't like the implications leaping around inside her skull at that statement, but she did her best to ignore them. Hunted beasts couldn't afford scruples, especially ones that knew exactly what lay in store if they were caught. She datavised a query at her communication block. Since they left the homestead cabin, it had been broadcasting a continuous signal up to the geosynchronous platform and the secure satellites Terence Smith had brought with him. There was no need for secrecy now, but the darkened cloud was still blocking the directional beam very effectively. Thiel's hovercraft slowed as it neared the stream, then the nose fell, and it went into a controlled slither down the scree of crumbling earth. The gully was 3 meters deep, with tall reed grass growing along the top. Smooth grey stones filled the flat bottom, with a trickle of water running down the middle. A muddy pool had built up behind the scree. Kelly followed the first hovercraft down, juggling the fan deflectors frantically to stop them sliding into the opposite bank. She turned upstream, keeping 10 meters behind Theo. He reached the deepest part of the gully and killed the lift. The mercenaries were jumping down from the top of the bank. "Everyone out of the hovercraft," Razor said, "and sit with your backs to the gully here," he pointed. "Northern side," Kelly thought. She stood up. "Don't think about it," and helped to hand the children over the gunwale. They looked round in bewilderment, young faces lost and doleful. "It's all right," she kept saying, "everything's all right. Don't think about it." She kept smiling, too, so they wouldn't catch her anxiety. Ogden glided down into the gully and perched himself on Pat Hallahan's broad shoulder, wings folding tightly. Fenton was already nosing round Razor's legs. "Don't think about it." Kelly sat beside Jay. The little girl obviously knew something terrible was about to happen. "It's all right," Kelly whispered. "Really?" She winked, though it was more like a nervous tick. Flints in the gully wall were sharp on her back. Water gurgled round her boots. "Joshua," Kelly datavised into her communication block. "Joshua, answer me, for Christ's sake, Joshua!" All she was given in reply was the oscillating ghost wind of static. There was a scuttling sound as the mercenary sat down on the stones. Several children were sniffing.